A 27-year-old law student publishes a paper comparing an online retailer to Standard Oil. The legal community erupts. Within 4 years, she's chairing the Federal Trade Commission, leading the government's charge against the very company she analyzed. This isn't fiction. It's the story of how Amazon transformed from Jeff Bezos' garage startup into an inescapable force that touches nearly every corner of American life. What makes this tale fascinating isn't just the meteoric rise, but the calculated ruthlessness behind it. While most companies chase quarterly profits, Amazon played a different game entirely, one where losing money became a competitive weapon and patience became power. The question isn't whether Amazon won, it's whether anyone else ever stood a chance. In 1994, Jeff and Mackenzie Bezos abandoned a combined $1 million salary and their Manhattan apartment to sell books online when only 3% of Americans used the internet. They drove west in a Chevy Blazer with $245,000 from Jeff's parents' money. He warned had a 70% chance of disappearing. After 60 rejections, they scraped together $1 million from angels, treating it like a lottery ticket. Bezos saw what others missed. Books were perfect for online retail, too numerous for physical catalogs, cheap to ship, sold by an industry ripe for disruption. Seattle offered technical talent, proximity to distributors, and crucially, a small population, enabling tax-free nationwide shipping. Amazon.com launched in July 1995, generating $12,438 in its first week and $511,000 by year's end. Bezos had initially registered Relentless.com, which still redirects to Amazon today. That wasn't just a domain name. It was a philosophy, a warning everyone ignored. Going public in 1997 with $6 million in losses seemed reckless. But Bezos' first shareholder letter prioritized long-term market leadership over quarterly profits. While competitors faced pressure for immediate returns, Amazon's investors tolerated mounting losses. As Target executive Jerry Storch asked, "How do you compete with someone who spends $1 billion on technology and can lose whatever they want?" The genius move came in 2000 with Amazon Marketplace. After failing to copy eBay's auctions, Amazon let third-party sellers onto its platform, creating the flywheel. More selection attracted customers, which attracted sellers, driving competitive pricing that brought more customers. Amazon collected fees without carrying inventory. Traditional retailers needed stores to offer selection. Amazon needed only strategically placed warehouses. By 2003, Amazon had accidentally mastered computing infrastructure, birthing AWS, which by 2021 contributed 3/4 of profits. While corporate America broke up conglomerates, Bezos built an empire spanning logistics, advertising, entertainment, cloud computing, and food retail. Each division fed data to the others, creating advantages no single industry competitor could match. Amazon's acquisition of Quidsi, parent company of Diapers.com, exemplified its ruthless tactics. When founders Mark Lohr and Vineet Barrera received a $650 million Walmart offer, Amazon issued a stark ultimatum: sell to us or we'll slash diaper prices to zero. Facing bankruptcy through predatory pricing, they accepted Amazon's lower $545 million offer. Amazon promptly scaled back discounts and by 2017 shut down Quidsi entirely, having absorbed its customers and eliminated a competitor. This pattern repeated with Lior Grebler's Ubi, a voice-activated home device. After 5 meetings, Amazon terminated their non-disclosure agreement and ghosted him. 2 years later, Amazon launched Echo, remarkably similar to what Grebler had shared. The Alexa Fund, launched in 2015 with $100 million to invest in voice technology startups, operated as corporate intelligence gathering. Amazon would meet with innovative companies under the pretense of investment, extract proprietary information during months of discussions, then vanish, only to later release competing products eerily similar to what had been confidentially disclosed. Amazon's dominance created an impossible bind for device makers. Want voice compatibility? Partner through Alexa voice service. But certification required? Sending prototype speakers to Amazon months before launch, giving your biggest competitor early access to your technology. Sonos faced this in 2015. "It's disconcerting, but you don't really have a choice," said co-founder Craig Shelburne. Sonos later believed Amazon infringed on 100 of their patents. Chet Pipkin, founder of Belkin, experienced similar betrayal. After partnering in 2015 to make Wemo smart plugs Alexa compatible, Belkin sent prototypes for certification. Within 2 years, their technology appeared in Amazon's own smart plugs. The ideas and the tech, stolen, utilized, advanced, put into Amazon private label items, Pipkin said. Internal controls were essentially non-existent. A 2015 audit revealed nearly 4,700 employees had unauthorized access to third-party seller data. In 2017, Amazon demanded Vivint Smart Home provide data from every device in customers' homes, roughly 1.5 billion daily data points, or lose Echo compatibility. Companies that refused faced threats to their retail platform access. The message? Surrender your data or lose access to hundreds of millions of customers. Amazon's private label division systematically accessed third-party seller data despite official restrictions. When direct access was blocked, employees used workarounds, notably going over the fence, requesting business analysts to pull detailed competitor reports openly discussed in strategy meetings. The copying process was ruthlessly efficient. Seattle teams analyzed seller data to identify high-potential items, margins, sales velocity, satisfaction scores. These reference ASINs went to Amazon's Shenzhen team, who reverse-engineered samples and launched production within 8 months. Brooklyn-based Fortem's experience illustrates the power imbalance. The four-person company created a best-selling car trunk organizer. Amazon accessed reports revealing 33,000 units sold, $800,000 in revenue, plus granular pricing and profit data. By October 2019, Amazon Basics launched three nearly identical organizers, leveraging Fortem's market research without investment. This fundamentally differed from traditional retail. Walmart and Target used data from products they purchased themselves. Amazon exploited its dual role as marketplace and competitor, accessing proprietary seller data while competing directly against those sellers. Despite ethics training explicitly prohibiting such practices, employees described it as standard operating procedure. Sellers faced an impossible choice: accept Amazon's terms and risk being copied, or abandon hundreds of millions of potential customers. By 2019, Amazon's reach, 200 million Prime members, 500 million Alexa devices, AWS dominance, and millions of third-party sellers whose data it exploited, triggered FTC and House Judiciary investigations. Amazon's lobbying machine went into overdrive, banning terms like market share and platform, using encrypted messaging, and marking documents privileged and confidential. When the Wall Street Journal contradicted Amazon lawyer Nate Sutton's testimony about using seller data, Congress demanded Bezos testify. Unlike other tech CEOs who engaged directly, Bezos had dispatched Jay Carney, whose arrogant approach backfired. When Bezos finally testified in July 2020, he missed the first hour due to technical difficulties and appeared unfamiliar with his company's practices, repeatedly saying he didn't know or couldn't recall. Congress's October 2020 report was scathing, 449 pages, concluding Amazon held monopoly power, dedicating more pages to Amazon than any other company. On September 26, 2023, the FTC and 17 state attorneys general filed suit, centered on Amazon forcing sellers to use its services and penalizing merchants who offered lower prices elsewhere. Kahn noted Amazon's take of seller revenues had risen from 19% in 2014 to 45% in 2023, effectively a 50% Amazon tax. Yet the damage may already be irreversible. Amazon surpassed UPS and FedEx to become America's largest delivery business and maintains a $1.5 trillion market value. new business formation has declined 50% since the 1970s, with Amazon's dominance serving as an 800-pound deterrent. Amazon didn't just change retail, it changed the rules of capitalism itself, proving that the patient predator willing to lose money for years will always devour those playing by traditional rules.